Second Timothy, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Well, Webster's dictionary says that a veteran is, one, a person who has had long service or experience in an occupation or office or something like that. In other words, a veteran of the police force. Or another definition is a person who has served in a military force, perhaps especially during a war. And a third definition under that word is experienced through long service, as a veteran member of Congress might be considered. Now, as we honor our veterans, we have some idea, hopefully, of what one must do to become a veteran of the armed services. But the question for today is, what is required to become a true veteran of the cross of Christ? What does it take to be a good soldier and thus become a true veteran of the Lord? We brought forward two flags this morning, of course, the American flag and the Christian flag. The American flag and the Christian flag each represent something different. The American flag represents our country, and the other represents our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Now, to serve either of these flags faithfully and effectively, and the kingdoms that they represent, we must meet certain requirements. Before one can become a veteran, they must first be a good soldier. And when you join the armed forces, you don't enter as a general. You must sign on at the entry level and grow into higher and higher rank. Likewise, we become Christians at an entry level, at the beginning of our faith journey, and grow into a closer and closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life. To serve either flag, we do so voluntarily. There was a time in our nation's history when service was required. We had a draft. You had to serve your country. But America no longer forces men and women to serve in the military branches of the country or any other service to the country. They are asked to volunteer. They share with potential recruits. They, the leaders in the military, share with potential recruits the benefits of serving. These recruits are sent out across the country to encourage people to come and serve. Some of the benefits sound pretty good to a high school senior. Education, travel, respectable pay, medical benefits, vacation time each year. Well, maybe. And recruiters do a pretty good job of selling the duty that you each have to serve your country. Now, unlike America, God does not and never has forced anyone to serve in his kingdom. But he does plead with us. He does plead with us to volunteer and to come to salvation through Christ our Lord. And he also sends out recruitment officers to urge people to serve in his army. Jeremiah 44, we read, I have sent my servants, the prophets, to you again and again to tell you not to do these detestable things that I hate. In 2 Corinthians, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The Lord's recruiters go on in 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some people count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ is pleading today for the sinner to come and serve him willingly. The benefits of serving this kingdom are tremendously great. You might say, in fact, that they're out of this world. They're everlasting. They don't go away. You see, when you serve the American flag, you must have faith in the American government that it will supply your needs. You're not going to have to worry if you're out on the battlefield about food or clothing or shelter or medical needs. Even your companions as you serve in the military are supplied by our government. One of the unique things about life in the armed forces is that no matter where you go, you have instant compatibility with lots of people, no matter how often you move or where you move to. Everyone you know is just like you. They are roughly the same age. They make about the same salary. They shop at the same stores. They wear the same clothes. They have similar experiences. And they are committed to the same values that you hold true, and they are willing to step forward and lead. Now, when you serve the Christian flag, you must also have faith in the one who has called you into his service, that he will supply your every need. You will not have to worry about your physical needs when you serve Christ. So do not worry saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them too. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, Christ will even provide godly company for you to keep. We read in 1 John, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son." If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. When it comes to faith, the Lord wants us to be true veterans, experienced through long service and practice. When you serve the American flag, you are expected to be completely committed to your country and to allow nothing to prevent you from doing your duty and serving faithfully. Sometimes that can be tougher than you might think. It's not easy to come home and tell your family, "I'm going away on temporary duty for the next 3 months," or "for the next 6 months," or like in World War II, going away and not knowing when you would be home. And your commitment can be tested in carrying out that mission. When you serve the Christian flag, you're also expected to be completely committed to his kingdom. You are expected to serve him faithfully, not allowing anything to keep you from doing his will. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything and followed him. And after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth, and he said, "Follow me." And Levi got up and left everything and followed Jesus. And in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything that they have cannot be my disciple. Several years ago in England, Sir John Barbaroli was conducting a great symphony orchestra before a standing room only audience. Now, the concert hall that they were in was unusual in that it was used for cultural events on the weekdays and for religious services on Sunday. Now, on this particular Saturday evening, one of the patrons of the orchestra noticed that the preacher was in the audience. And being a sweet old man that he was, he leaned over and said to him as sarcastically as he tried not to be, Preacher, when are you going to fill this hall on Sunday the way Sir John Barbaroli has tonight? Well, it didn't bother the preacher much, and he looked his antagonist straight in the eye, and he said with a steady voice, I'll fill this hall on Sunday morning when you give to me as you have given to Sir John tonight. 85 disciplined men and women to be with me and to work with me. When you serve the American flag, you're required to follow orders, and you're expected to be obedient to the letter. When you serve the Christian flag, Christ expects and requires no less. He said in Matthew, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. In John, we read, whoever has my commandments, who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. In Isaiah, we read, if you are willing to and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. John Newton, the writer of the most popular hymn in history, Amazing Grace, said this, if two angels in heaven were given assignments by God at the same time, one of them was to go and rule over the greatest nation on earth, and the other was to go to sweep the streets of the dirtiest village, each angel would be completely indifferent as to which assignment he got. It simply wouldn't matter to either one of them. Why? Why wouldn't it matter which of those assignments you would get? Because the real joy lies in being obedient to God. For a Christ follower, the important thing isn't what God has us doing. The important thing is what we are doing is that we are doing what God wants us to do. As we look at ourselves, our own lives, are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we pledging our faith to support the kingdom through our tithes and gifts? Are we pledging our faith to support the kingdom by our prayers, our presence, and our service? When you serve the American flag, you are expected to be completely devoted to the country it represents. When you serve the Christian flag, Christ expects you to be completely devoted to Him and to His kingdom. Now then, who will follow my example? Who will give himself and all that he has to the Lord? One day I looked at myself, at the self that Christ can see. I saw the person I am today and the one that I ought to be. I saw how little I really pray and how little I really do. I saw the influence of my life, how little of it was true. I saw the bundle of faults and fears I ought to lay on the shelf. I had given a little bit to God, but I had not given myself. I came from seeing myself with my mind made up to be the sort of person that Christ can use, with a heart that he may always see. To be a true spiritual veteran, one must be completely devoted to the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our prayers, our presence, our service, and our gifts. To become true veterans of the cross, we must first be good soldiers of the cross. May the Lord this Veterans Day make us all true spiritual veterans, people experienced in the task that they do through long service and practice. May we commit ourselves to our flag and our country by saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and may we also remind ourselves that we believe about the Christian, or what we believe about the Christian flag, the one we commit to in our pledge to allegiance, the other by repeating any of the creeds of our faith. So let us this day commit our future and the meaning and significance of our lives to our Heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.